Well, we're glad that you're in the house of the Lord today. Do you feel that God is here? Well, that makes me happy because I remember receiving an email this week from one of the wife's aunt, and it had a little story on it about two mischievous little boys that lived in a particular city. And they were always getting in trouble, and if anything happened, they looked at them. And so their mother heard that there was a great, powerful preacher coming to town, so she began to talk to him and say, "These two boys of mine need to understand some things. Would you talk to them?" So he looked at her. One of them was young and one of them was older, and he said, "I'll tell you what. I'll talk to each individually. You send the youngest boy to me in the morning, and then send the oldest boy to me in the afternoon, and I'll talk to them." So she said, "All right." So she sent the little boy over to this preacher's place early in the morning, and he sat there on the chair, and the preacher looked at him, and he said, "Where's God?" And the little boy just sat there. And he looked at him again. He said, "Son, I ask you a question, where's God?" And the little boy just sat there, didn't say a word. And finally, he was getting a little frustrated. He reached out and pointed his finger at him, and he said in a real loud voice, "I said, where's God?" And the little boy jumped up out of the chair, didn't say anything, then went out the door he went. And he went home just as quick as he could and ran into the house and into the closet and shut the door. And his older brother came and opened the door and slipped in and said, called him by name, said, "What in the world happened?" And he said, "Brother, we're in trouble. God's missing and they're blaming us." So I trust that God's not missing this morning, that he's always here with us. God is so good to us that we need to understand there's some things that we have to do in the day and the ages that we live in. Recall reading another story. I'm going to take my text in just a moment from the 13th chapter of the book of Romans and verses 11 and 12 if you want to. I reach over there, I'm putting my watch up here. You know what that means, don't you? Nothing. But anyway, it's there. But I read a story many, many years ago about a family that was dependent upon an old grandfather's clock and its striking of the chimes to keep them abreast of the times. So one occasion it was time for them to go into the fields early. They were waiting for that clock to strike the 7 o'clock so that they could get on out there in the field and begin to work, and the clock struck 14 times. It had malfunctioned. And so the father ran through the house and said, "Everybody get up and let's go. It's later than it's ever been." And I think that's true today. It's later than it's ever been. And when I think of that little story, this scripture in Romans chapter 13 verses 11 and 12 come to my mind, because the Apostle Paul is talking about our Christian duties, and he's talking about our attitude and responsibility towards our neighbors. And he said in verse 11, "And do this, knowing the time that it is now high time to wake out of our sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." And so Paul declared many, many years ago a very simple message, that time is running out. And looking back over history, and you begin to see that we're in one of those occasions where everything is accelerating. And we can see there's some startling signs that point to the end of the age, because one of the signs that the age is coming to an end is an acceleration of technology, an acceleration of things that take place. I remember many years ago when I was a boy, and I was a boy one time, things came very difficult. We'd get in our old car, Deadwood, an old Model A that he had, and we'd get up very early in the morning if we were going to go to our grandmother's house. We lived in Corsicana, and Denton, Texas at that time was about 120 miles away, and we'd get up before sunbreak, and we'd get in that old car, and we'd go and go and go and go, and we might get grandma's by nighttime. It was a long trip. Now you can get into an airplane and you can be across the nation in no time at all. I'm sure that our fellows that are over in Israel today, they got over there before we could drive across the nation several years ago. Things are accelerating. So if we begin to consider the following sequence of events, just remember from the time that the sailboat came into existence until the steamboat was invented, it took 5,000 years for that to happen. And then after the steamboat began to have its place in our society, then came along the airplane 100 years later. And then the airplane to the satellite was 52 years. And then from the invention of the satellite and putting it up in the air until President Reagan began to start talking about Star Wars, it was another 25 years. And from that time until this time, who knows what's going to happen? And I ask you the question this morning, is it possible that this valuable thing that we call time is running out on our planet Earth? Are we reaching the end of all things called time? Are we ending everything so quickly that we don't realize it? Are we close to the time when we can hear the whole creation groaning and travailing in pain until now? Or can we think that we're getting to that time when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel's neighbor? It's getting closer. Are we approaching that time when we'll hear the heavens pass away with a great noise and the elements melting away with a fervent heat, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10? Or are we reaching that time when we'll hear the sound of Armageddon, as it talks about in Revelation chapter 16, verse 16? Are we reaching that time when the Lord shall stand upon that day, upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall split in two from the east and west by a wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall withdraw northward and the other half southward, as Zechariah tells us. There are things that are happening today that gives us a real feeling that time is running out and the blessed hope will appear. And I ask you this morning, neighbor, what about your neighbor? What about your kinfolks? What about your relatives that are not ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we concerned about them because we know that time is running out? We understand that the blessed hope might appear any day because we see these things taking place. The Bible says that one of the signs of the coming of the Lord is it near is the increase of violence and the increase of lawlessness. And every day, you can't help but look at the television and look at your newspaper, and you see there's an increasing bombardment upon us of violence and lawlessness that this planet Earth has never witnessed before. The disciples came to Jesus, according to Luke chapter 21 and verse 7, and they asked him a question. They asked him the question, "What shall be the signs of thy coming?" And Jesus answered that question. In verse 25, he said, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. On earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. And then the Apostle Paul further adds to that, because in his writings, he said there'll be worldwide lawlessness. Hear his words in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power. Then he says, have nothing to do with them. We need to be careful, neighbor, that we don't get caught up in the affairs of this world and we don't begin to act like the world around about us. The statistics say that in our nation, there's more than 35 million victims of crime annually. That's a lot of crime, neighbor. I remember, again, looking back at the times of old, in the late 39s and the early 40s, I remember being raised in a house that mom and dad had lost everything they had during the Great Depression. And we lived in a little three-room house, and I'm telling you, that's all it was, three rooms. There was no bath facilities there, no plumbing, just a three-room house. And we, for entertainment, didn't have a television. It didn't come along for a long time after that. We had a radio that sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. And most of the time for entertainment, what we did was take a quilt and spread it out in the grass in the front yard and go out that night because it was cool out there, and look up into the skies and you could see the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper, and you could see shooting stars go by, and the neighbors would come and they'd lay there with us on those pallets and we'd all have some conversations. We never thought about locking our doors. We didn't have any locks on the doors. All we had was a screen door. We pulled it through. But neighbor, you wouldn't dare do that today because you don't know what's going to happen. We helped each other out, but we don't do that anymore because of fear of what will happen to us if we get too friendly with those around about us. 35 million victims of crime that happen every year. 20% of all murders that take place today are family related. Violent crimes are on the increase. Statistics tell us that 1 out of 12 women will be assaulted or have attempts made upon them. And that's a terrible thing. And even more terrible than that, we find that 5 out of 6 children will be assaulted during their lifetime. 1/3 of all female homicides are committed by the husband or the partners that are living with them. You recall the story of a woman, in a northern state who murdered several of her husbands. She cleverly fed poison into their systems. And finally, after several husbands had died, they began to think something was suspicious, and they began to dig up those bodies and perform autopsies on them, and the autopsies revealed the poison. Her motive for the crimes were never revealed to us. She did repent of her wrongdoings, but we know that she went to her death in a Raleigh, North Carolina state prison for those murders. Another quiet couple, retired, were murdered in their own home. The murder was committed by 2 young servicemen who slipped into their home through an open window, and they cut the throats of this older couple, and they were caught, but they showed no remorse when they were brought to justice. They simply said they were following Satan's orders. One parent, talking about their son who was convicted, said their son was greatly influenced by the game called Dungeons and Dragons. We don't hear too much about that today, but it's still there. Crimes against children are skyrocketing. You remember, just on a local basis not too long ago, they finally found out the real name of that little child called Baby Grace that they found floating in the bottle, in a box in Galveston Bay. It's terrible to think that there was a murder committed by the child's mother and the stepfather. Just think how it is. I don't know. I guess I'm a old sissy type fella. But I'll tell you, when I was chastising my children when they were growing up, and I began to spank them and I saw tears come in their eye, my heart began to melt away. And it began to say to me, I don't want to do this anymore. But it was reported that in this case of Baby Grace, that they were beating that child and pushing her into cold water and keeping her underwater. And she'd come up and she would look at her mother and say, Mother, I love you. And that mother would just beat her some more until the life was taken out of her. Neighbor, what is this going on? I'll tell you what's going on. If you were in the Sunday school class with Brother Nunley this morning, you would have heard about demon spirits and demon powers. And neighbor, when they influence an individual, that individual gives themselves over to that spirit. There's nothing that that individual won't do. And they murdered that little baby Grace and tried to cover it up. We know that the mother was convicted just recently, and the stepfather, I think, is going to go on trial, and no doubt he'll be convicted as well. Think about little Kaylee Anthony down in Florida. There again, I can't feature. And it's allegedly that she was killed by her mother. I can't feature a mother taking the life of her own child just because she wanted to go out and party and have a good time, and then take and bury her into the ground and act like nothing has happened. Neighbor, we're living in dangerous and perilous times. And the scripture said in the last days, perilous times will come. And we're living in those perilous times. Little Haley Cummings down in Florida as well. It's allegedly that maybe she was be taken by some intruder in the house, by the babysitter who was supposedly sleeping in the same bed. I think that babysitter has married the father since then. And there's rhetoric going back and forth of why this happened, because spouses can't testify against the other. And maybe this is it, but neighbor, all I'm doing is trying to tell you that we're living in perilous, terrible times. Tales of horror are told by children who have been made to drink the blood of animals, are forced to watch other children beaten and sexually molested and even dismembered before their eyes. And neighbor, this is terrible. There are telephone numbers, and you're aware of it, and websites on your computer where children can call and listen to pornographic messages. No wonder in this year of 2009, we're reaping a whirlwind of psychologically impaired children because they don't know what love is. They don't know what love is. My mother was one who firmly believed in the Word of God. If you spared the rod, you spoiled the child. And if I'm spoiled, it's not her fault, because she certainly didn't spare the rod. But I'm just saying this to tell you one thing. I don't know what I did, but I did something that was terrible, I suppose. And I remember she went out to a little old tree in the front yard, and she cut a switch. She called it a switch off of that tree. I think it was a whole limb. But anyway, she took that switch off of that tree, and she let me have it across the back until I remember those times. And I recall in the afternoon, because we didn't have a bathtub except an old number 3 galvanized tub, and it sat in a certain room in the house close to the wood burning stove so you'd be warm. And I remember I was in that tub taking a bath after that chastisement that she had given, and she came along, and I know that she had probably hit me a little bit harder than she intended to, and there were some stripes across there. And I very well remember that she came up and was washing those stripes, and she said, "Son, did I do that?" And I said, "I guess you did." And I remember tears running down her face, and she said, "I'm so sorry. I'll never do that again." And how different mom was than these mothers today who will take the life of their child and not even think about it. No wonder we have some children that don't know right from wrong. You see, violence is just not local, but it's worldwide. And we certainly are aware of it in America since 9/11 of 2001. We see and hear of terror attacks all over the world. We'll begin to no doubt see them right here in America. We know down on the Mexican border towns that they're giving us reports of individuals who are beheaded, and they're murdered by the hundreds. Phoenix, Arizona right now is one of the kidnapped capitals of the earth. You see more people kidnapped in Phoenix, Arizona because of the drug traffic that comes into a nation. One of the reasons that all of this drugs is flowing into the United States of America is because America has backslid, and half of our people have to have drugs to keep themselves going. And so we're playing right into the hands of the devil, and all of this cocaine and all of this dope is coming into the United States, and we're forming a problem where it's always coming. We can't blame them. If our people would turn a deaf ear to it and say no, you wouldn't have so much coming in. I don't blame the Mexicans. I don't blame the terrorists, as we call them, that's coming in. My grandson just came back from a tour of duty in Afghanistan. And I was talking to him about the growing of the poppies, which they used to make one of the dopes. And he said to me, he said, "Well, Grandpa, you know it's hard to go and set those fields on fire. And we had to do that. But," he said, "it's hard. Those people live in absolute poverty. And that's the only way they have to make a living." He said, "They don't use it. It all is shipped out of there." But neighbor, that's what we're facing, because it's coming and destroying us. Also, Father, in further looking at the situation, we know that the involvement of the Soviet Union in the affairs of nations is a sign of the end that's about to come upon us. Although it would appear from several years back that the Soviet Union has broken down, the Bible is very clear about that nation's intervention in the Middle East prior to the end time. The Old Testament prophet Ezekiel describes the full-scale attack by the Soviet Union on Israel. His prophecy reveals that the attack will be an international attack. Israel's enemies will come not just from their surrounding neighbors and immediate areas around them, but from the north. Because the Bible gives us this warning in Ezekiel 39, verses 1, 2, and 4. I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn you around and drag you along. I will bring you from the far north and send you against the mountains of Israel. On the mountains of Israel you will fall, you and your troops and nations with you. So we know that they're going to work against Israel. They're already working against Israel. Hal Lindsey, most of you know, is a well-known writer on prophecy, says, every time the word north is referred to in the Bible in scriptures, it's to the north of Jerusalem. And if you draw a straight line from Jerusalem to the north, that line will go to the Soviet Union. Ezekiel even mentions the chief city, Meshach, from which the word Moscow comes from and gets its name. So even today, we see the influence of Russia at work in the affairs of the world. Just recently, the report came, and you heard it over the television just like I did, that President Obama spoke to the Russians, and he indicated to them that if they would speak on our behalf to Iran and get them to quit building their nuclear weapons, that we would consider pulling back the missile shield in Poland. Neighbor, we're in dangerous times. Dangerous times. The Hamas and the Syrians and the Palestinians, neighbor, they all have one thing in mind, as well as Iraq. They have one thing in mind, Iran, that is. They have one thing in mind, and that is to destroy Israel. And Israel knows that they're not fighting the Arabs alone, but they're fighting Russia as well. And they need help. Last but not least, one of the signs that tells us that the coming of the Lord is near at hand is the lack of expectancy on the behalf of the church. Last but not least, as I said, Jesus said that the time would come when men would not expect the coming of the Son of Man. In fact, he said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 44, so you must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour that you do not expect him. And you have to be ready for him. The Lord also said, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. And that day will close upon you unexpectedly like a tramp. For it will come upon all that live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you'll be able to stand before the Son of Man. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36 is what I referred to. We read this warning in Revelation chapter 16. That is verses 15 and 16. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to a place called in Hebrew Armageddon. I think this morning, David, the Lord would have us know that just prior to the coming in, just before time runs out, men and women all over the earth will not expect the coming of the Son of Man. You may say that's absolutely not possible, but I say it is possible. In fact, I would remind you that you know as well as I know that preachers who once preached with fervor about the coming of the Lord have quit preaching about the coming of the Lord. They stopped preaching about it as fact. Some theologians, some pastors, and some preachers are beginning to talk about the raptures as a mere theory instead of a promised fact. But I want you to know, neighbor, it's not a theory. Jesus said that he was coming back again, and we need to be ready for him. And when we begin to play into the hands of Satan with evil thoughts that keep us from watching for Christ's return, we're in a dangerous situation. You recall at the ascension of Jesus, when he went into heaven, the angel said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." That's Acts chapter 1, verse 11, according to the New American Standard Bible. And neighbor, it's going to happen. It's a fact. You may doubt it, but it's a fact. You'll be caught off guard if you don't believe it. Billy Graham says he believes that the world is coming to an end sociologically, technologically, and physiology. I believe it. I don't know about you, but I believe it this morning. Not just because Billy Graham said it, but I believe it because Jesus said time is running out. And we need to be about our Father's business. I ask you this morning, as we begin to think about the seriousness of his coming again, can you feel a tug on your heart? Or have you gotten so cold? Have you gotten so indifferent to the coming of the Lord that it doesn't do anything for you? Do you ask in a tone of unbelief, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Can you remember when you were first saved? Neighbor, I can. I was just a 9-year-old kid back in Corsicana. And I remember making such an impression upon me, I went and stood downtown across the street from the biggest, tallest building we had in town. It was 5 stories tall. And that's the biggest place we had there, First National Bank. And I remember leaning up against the drugstore, looking at the top of that building and thinking, as a little 9-year-old kid, one of these days, Jesus is going to come. He'll be right above that building. I want to be ready when he comes. We were expecting it. When I was a teenager walking down to church, first airplane I ever saw that was up so high that it left a vapor trail behind it, I watched that go across the sky. And I'd been doing some things I shouldn't have been doing. And I watched that vapor trail go across there, and I said, "Oh, I better do something. I believe the sky's opening up and Jesus is about to come." But you know, as we grow old in our walk with Jesus, I'm not talking about old in years, but when we get older in our walk with Jesus, those things, we know that they're going to happen, but we're not just exactly sure when it's going to happen. So have we come to the point where we think, well, he didn't come yesterday, and I guess he won't come today, but he might. And if he does, where will you be? Have you grown cold? in your witness to the Lord? Do you think? I've got plenty of time. If you come to such a place, I ask you not to lose hope. Keep your eyes upon the sky. Because the scripture says, and when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Time, neighbor, is running out. Not only for you, but for your family, for your neighbors, for those that you just meet passing down the street that you don't even know. Time is running out. They need to be ready for Jesus. Father, we thank you right now. Father, as we go to you in prayer and ask you right now, Father, to have your precious way in our hearts. Father, if we've begun cold and indifferent, wake us up, we pray. Let us know it could happen today. Oh, Father, let us know that nothing else has to be done except the Father saying to you, go get your bride. And the trumpet will sound and we'll be gone. Help us to be ready. Father, let us be on fire for you. And Father, I pray that you'll just do a work of miracles for us this very moment and this very day, we pray. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Would you stand with me, neighbor? Praise the Lamb of God. And are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you really ready? Have you searched your heart? If you stand before him and he asks you to give an account of your life, and you will. Are you ready to give an account? Jesus is here this morning. If you need him to redeem you or to put you on fire again, he's here to do that. If you have financial needs, he's here to meet those financial needs. If you need healing for your body, he's here to heal your body. If you need power from the Holy Spirit, he's here to fill you with that Holy Spirit. I want you, if you feel a tugging in your heart as I do to get closer to God, would you come and just meet me around the front here and let's spend some time praying and ask God to meet these needs before we leave this morning. Would you? Praise God. While she's coming, everyone come that will. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask Brother Nunley and Brother Pinson if they're still with us. Pray for these individuals this morning. Praise God. God bless you. Lift up your hands and begin to worship God.